China's currency has been falling, which helps it counteract the effects of U.S. tariffs. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has just warned China to not engage in, quote, competitive devaluation of the Chinese currency, the yuan. In an interview with the Financial Times, he notes the yuan fell, quote, significantly this year. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak has more from Shanghai.
China's currency has dropped by 10% against the dollar over the last 6 months since the tit-for-tat tariffs with the U.S. started. This quick decline has renewed accusations that China is engaging in what's called competitive devaluation, meaning China is keeping its currency weak to make its exports cheap and soften the blow from the U.S. trade tariffs. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Liu Kang calls these suggestions, quote, irresponsible and baseless. So if not manipulation, what could be driving the decline? Well, the U.S. dollar is strong and China's economy has been slowing down. Then there are the tariffs and counter-tariffs. At the same time, China is trying to stimulate growth, like getting commercial banks to lend more. Some analysts believe the Chinese yuan could slide even further, prompting Treasury Secretary Mnuchin to say the two sides will need to talk about currency in future trade talks.
Jennifer, thank you. A dollar buys 6.92 yuan this morning. If it hits 7, that would be the highest dollar and lowest yuan since the Great Recession 10 years ago. Let me check stocks in early trading. The Dow is down 127 points, 0.5%, a similar percentage drop for the S&P 500. The NASDAQ is down 0.9%. Bond yields are up again today. The 10-year yield up at 3.23% now. There's a moment back in 2015 when that key rate was below 1.4%. Yes, the Federal Reserve has been engineering this, but there's more. Jeffrey Cleveland is the chief economist at Payden & Riegel in Los Angeles.
The key driver, I think, in recent weeks is the strong economic data and the market, particularly bond traders. If you talk to bond traders, they say things like, yo, the Fed will never get to 3% on the Fed funds rate. It'll never get above 3% on the Fed funds rate. And those bond traders, I think, changed their view in the last few days, the last few weeks. And that's because the Fed consistent prodding. And so I think that's now forced bond traders to change their narrative, to change their view. And so that's what you saw in the last few weeks with interest rates, prices in higher interest rate from the Fed, longer term interest rates.
In anticipation of inflation, we don't really see it. I mean, today we got wholesale inflation. It came in as expected, up a bit.
So today we got PPI was more or less right on target. Tomorrow we'll get CPI, which is consumer price inflation. And if that shows more signs of prices perking up, if you will, that I think would send Treasury yields higher once again. So that's what we're really watching.
Jeffrey Cleveland at Payden & Riegel, thank you so much.
Great to see you, David.
We're also watching Sears stock down 32% right now, with the Wall Street Journal talking of a possible bankruptcy filing soon. One of those stocks cost just 40 cents. As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is able to do what we do every day thanks to funding from public radio stations, foundations, corporate underwriters, and listeners like you. Thank you to all the Marketplace investors who've contributed over the last year for helping keep public service journalism strong. All of us really appreciate your support.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
You can climb the corporate ladder with a golf club, but in Silicon Valley, the tool is rounder, ultimate frisbee. KQED's Rachel Miro took to the field.
It's a Monday night in a park in Sunnyvale, the heart of Silicon Valley, and Afifa Tawil, a senior design program manager at software company VMware, is getting ready to play ultimate frisbee.
You can think of it like football or soccer. You can't run when you hold a frisbee. So you just throw it and you get the frisbee to the other side.
Two teams of seven players each try to fling the frisbee into the other side's goal. Tawil and her buddies play because it's fun. But of course, they read stories about really famous people in the Valley who play Ultimate. You know, like some of the people who founded Google, WhatsApp, and SolarCity. Head to pickupultimate.com and you'll see a couple dozen games happening around Silicon Valley every week. Just the promise of rubbing shoulders with the boss class lends a certain luster to Ultimate. So I asked Awil if there are any people like that in her circle, and she introduces me to Andrew Zill, a chemist who works for Thermo Fisher Scientific, who's also owner and manager of the San Jose Spiders, a semi-professional Ultimate team. I asked Zill if people try to schmooze him.
I think it just happens. People mostly play for fun. And I think that's for the best because then you actually make a real friendly relationship with somebody.
Zill introduced me to Peter Nia, a venture capitalist with Lightspeed Venture Partners, who tends to play farther north, closer to where the boss class tends to live. Nia's always on the lookout for business opportunities, and he figures he missed a chance to invest in Google early because he was unaware he was playing with Sergey Brin, the co-founder of Google. Years passed, and Nia attended a party at one of the world's top-ranked venture capital firms, Kleiner Perkins, and Nia spots Brin.
Even though he didn't seem to want to talk to many people, I probably should have reached out to him.
Now, you don't need to play Ultimate to impress Nia, but it doesn't hurt.
It's a blurred line between your personal life and your professional life. Some of my closest friends are people I also do business with. It's part of the job, and if you're not of that mindset, you probably shouldn't be a VC.
And if someone wants to sidle up to Nia on the field because of his fund, he says he's more than game to talk. I'm Rachel Miro for Marketplace.
Now to a teachable moment about human bias creeping into robots. Reuters is reporting that Amazon has abandoned an artificial intelligence system it developed that was supposed to weed out job applications. Turns out the technology doesn't like women applicants. It downgraded people when it spotted resume words like women's chess club and was unimpressed by graduates of women's colleges. This because, according to Reuters, the artificial intelligence was based on the qualifications of people Amazon had hired in the past, and those tended to be men. Amazon spotted the problem itself and no longer uses the contraption. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.